You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Attention Browns backers, check out the completely redesigned Browns backers portal and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. Nathan Zagura joined back by my partners in crime, Michael Regei, Matt Wilhelm here.
I'm back!
In the Dog Bowl in Berea, we have had our fill of tasty grub from the good folks at Arby's. Check them out, and remember, November 3rd, the time to get your Browns collectible cup with Brownie the Elf on it, celebrating the 50th anniversary. But now we're going to take you from the drive-through to the locker room. We're going to hear some sound from the Browns getting ready for this game against the Tennessee Titans. And we're going to start with the quarterback, Brian Hoyer. The Browns, as Michael laid out for us, not pretty on the road lately. And Hoyer was asked, why is it so darn tough to get wins away from home?
I think it's tough to win, period, in the NFL. I mean, and, you know, that's why they call it any given Sunday, I think. Obviously, going into a road game, you're taking everything you have with you. There's no, you're not going to have any help from the crowd. You know, those 53 guys, the coaches, the staff that's traveling with you, that's all you got. So I think you got to go in there. You have to be mentally sharp. You have to be able to handle some tough situations. I think Coach D'Antonio from Michigan State always told us when we were going to a tough road game was weather the storm. There's going to be moments where there are crowds into it, and you know, there's some tough moments for you, but you just got to weather the storm and ride it out, and know that it's a 60-minute game and play for the long run.
I like that because, again, what he's saying there, and this is exactly what happened the last time the Browns won a road game at the Dome in Minneapolis last year. Adversity, second half, turnovers,
Brian
fall
Hoyer.
Behind. Yes, himself. You're right. And then come back. Two fourth-quarter touchdown drives, the TD throw back back to Jordan Cameron, and you win a football game. So he just overcome adversity and be able to make sure that you're prepared to play a full 60 minutes.
And you got to play 60 minutes. It sounds simple, but for this team with where they're at and where they're trying to go, every single week they can't take anybody lightly. They can't take the foot off the pedal at any point. It's got to be 60 minutes from the first whistle to the final whistle each week.
As you already stated, Nathan, we're going to be in close games all year. That's a given, okay? But what we have to learn along the way is how to overcome them. You know, we've won one and lost one at home, right?
Yeah.
So, therefore, we have to take our show on the road, and like I said, is to start fast and know that we're going to grind. Regardless of who it is, you kind of just want to wipe away names on the back of jerseys and just go, if we do us and play our football game, it's going to be good enough. And like I always say, is you win, you know, one turns into two turns into three, and so on and so forth.
So you're telling me when I said win by 14 or 17 for a change, that can't happen?
I want it to happen, Reggie. It can't happen.
It can.
We need it to.
Does it always have to come down to the final possession?
No.
No, it does not. But in most cases, I believe that it will. You know, because I think next year's football team, for whatever reason, another year under my coach Mike Pettine, we're going to see more of those ball games. But this year, we're going to get, you know why? Because we're still that blip on the schedule that teams look to us as a win for them. And until we overcome that way of thinking by winning these football games and stringing together one, then two, then three, or one, then two on the road consecutively, we're still that team. And we have an opportunity to change it this Sunday.
No, that makes sense.
Let's go.
That makes very
Come
good
on.
Sense.
Come on, Coach Wilhelm.
Put your gloves on. Put your gloves on.
Brian Hoyer was also asked, with Ben Tate being back. All right, quarterback Hoyer, what does Ben Tate bring to your offensive football team?
I think the thing that Ben brings is experience. I mean, it's a little bit different, but it's pretty much the same system he's been in. So, you know, when he hears a play called, he knows exactly what he's doing, and whether it's the run game or the pass game.
Yeah, well, right now, as I said yesterday again, while we loved what the two young fellas have brought to this organization, and it's exciting because it's new. You got young backs showing that they got an understanding of what it takes to belong in the league, and that's terrific. But what Ben Tate brings is exactly what Brian Hoyer needs: the ability, if necessary, to be a three-down back.
Yep.
Again, it's not a knock on the other two kids. They got to learn that, but they're not three-down backs right now. Tate can be and is going to give you a boost in that area.
Something just reading into his response, and again, maybe I'm reading in a little too deeply, but he said, when the play is called, Ben knows what to do.
Okay. A shot.
Uh-huh. Is that a shot at some young running backs that might be asking a few too many questions about, hey, what do I got here? Hey, what's the protection? Hey, what route am I going to get into? Which can, at, you know, with less than 10 starts in his NFL career, could hinder him in some cases from being prepared to go play a football game.
Remember what Mike Pettine said yesterday quickly? He said, you know, you guys are all looking at statistics, and that's great. And the kids have performed beautifully. But we as coaches, when we grade, it's not just about what they do when they carry the football. Please keep that, and everyone needs to keep that in your mind. Pettine made a big statement there. Hoyer amplified it today.
No question, and you go back and you look at that Baltimore game, and there are any number of plays that could have turned that game, but one of them was an audible at the line. Matt, you and I broke down the play on the whiteboard. Everybody went right. The play was supposed to go right. Terrence West went left, broken play, lose 6 yards there, set up a third and long down near the goal line. We know the Browns came away with no points on that trip. So that's a play that you can't have happen. And by the way, the first time it happened, it was Hoyer's fault against Pittsburgh.
Right.
But that's now two times, again with a young back, two times inside the opponent's 10-yard line that the Browns have had that kind of an issue. And you can't have that
game changer.
Can't have those game changers. And that's what hopefully Ben Tate will eliminate. And I think that's what he was getting at there.
No, I agree. I really do. And I think it's one of those things where these backs, if they truly want to continue without getting reps, have to be mentally ready. They have to learn from Ben Tate. You know, they have to be able to go on the field for one play and come off for a series. And that's something that I learned along my way because I was a special teams player. I'd have to run down on a kickoff and wait until I the right situation, the package that I was a part of, and I'd go in for one play and I'd come out. And not knowing if I'd be used again or not. And so it's mentally frustrating, you know. And again, what if Ben Tate does get the hot hand? You know, what do we say? Feed the beast.
Right. And you're right, though, because Terrence West carried the ball seemingly 800 times at Towson last year. He's used to being in every play, getting the ball every single play. Isaiah Crowell, same way at Alabama State. Now, one guy that we talked about making an impact coming back, Jordan Cameron. Hoyer was asked if Cameron's shoulder injury is hurting his ability to help the quarterback.
No, I don't think that's affected at all. I think sometimes the games just play out a certain way. And, really Jordan's played 1.5 games. Right. So, I mean, it's still early. And I think you guys all know I have a lot of confidence in Jordan. And when I played last year, he probably was targeted more so than any other person. So, you know, I always feel comfortable having him on the field as a safety valve.
I'm looking for big things out of Jordan Cameron this week. We heard Tom Withers talk about the fact that you can see his shoulder looks healthier. The bruise has gone down significantly on that shoulder. I know that he's been going through practice this week, full go, which is the first time since suffering the injury. So that's great news there, too. And why not? Who better to talk to about the shoulder than the tight end himself? And he was asked about his shoulder injury.
I mean, I was limited in some of the games, and it's just one of those things that you got to learn to play with. It's going to be there for a while. It doesn't go away overnight, and it's just you gotta learn how to play with it, and that's the story about it.
And will it limit him or hinder him all season long?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I can do to help this team is that's my goal, and whatever position they put me in is what I'm going to try to do to succeed in those positions.
You got to love that. Yeah, I mean, that's what you would expect, you know, him to say that he's a team player. Again, an inside look into his mind is, hey, I'm in a contract year. I balled last year. If I string two of these together, you know.
Cha-ching!
Cha-ching! Yeah. Exactly. That's such a good point. So that is weighing on him too, which in some cases we talked about might be pressing him to get back into action. But I think Michael and I talked about it earlier. I think the biggest hurdle for Jordan Cameron to overcome is the mental. You know, to be able to reach out, to make those blocks, to finish blocks, to take a ball to the ground, this Cleveland Browns football team is going to have to do whatever it takes to win football games. And we hope that, you know, becomes mind over matter, you know, that he can basically say, I've done diligence. I've practiced hard. I can push myself to the limit and make all the plays because any hindrance that Jordan Cameron, you said, you know, and Brian Hoyer said, he's my safety valve. He's my go-to guy, you know, and you don't want your go-to guy to have any type of, you know, anything holding him back.
I think we're going to see in the next few weeks, I really do, so optimistic about that Hoyer and Cameron are going to replicate what they started to build with last year, seam routes, those deep digs, deep comebacks, square ins. It's all going to be there, the whole route tree, because, again, I think that Hoyer wants to do that. And Kyle Shanahan wants to do that. And if Jordan Cameron is able to stay on the football field, they will do that.
I think the next four games, barring a setback to that shoulder, you're seeing 20 catches, a couple scores from Cameron.
Yes.
I think
yes.
Too much has been put. Andrew Hawkins has been great, but that's a little too much on his plate right now.
Yeah.
And I think you need Jordan Cameron. And let me ask you, from your experience, when you have a guy who's got a shoulder injury and he's playing on Sundays but goes through the week wearing the no-contact jersey all week, and then now he's at a point where he's not wearing it at all, what does that say to the rest of the team about where he really is?
That is stated very early in the week. You know, you have the coaches who've dug in to the personnel of the opposing team. You go over, because you get the probable, questionable, contact, non-contact. You get that report. It's public knowledge. So you know who's practicing or not and what status. So and that as the week goes on too. So when you see the fact that he's practicing without, you know, that he's going to play, basically. It gives you the sense of mind that, okay, he's full go, but also, too, the fact that you know that he struggled, whether it be an ankle or a shoulder or whatever, you take that into account. So the defensive end that he's going to be blocking is going to give him his best effort early and truly test that shoulder. And I also think that, you know, Jordan Cameron, as the Pro Bowl player that he is last year, I've been a part of defenses that always love getting a bang, you know, regardless of where they line up. Somehow disrupt that timing, you know, with the quarterback. Because, again, if he's Brian Hoyer's safety valve and they don't have that timing or that connect, or he's missed some time, which he has, that could be a disconnect that the Tennessee Titans are wanting to capitalize on.
I'd like to see him block a little less.
Block less?
Yes. Until he's healthy. Okay. Not when he's attempting to block. I'm just saying, I know that you can zip it, but I'd like to see him block a little less.
Working on Tuesday with Barnage and Dre. If you remember, on Tuesday when they got back, it was a lot of, coming off the football, contact, get to the second level, contact in a run game.
Sure. So you need them to be. My point is this.
Get him away from the football a little further then.
Yeah, flex him out a little more. Use him more as a receiver, because you've got Barnage, you've got Dre, two guys that are very good at blocking.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron this year has blocked on 35 out of his 74 snaps. Last year was significantly higher. Now, obviously, the Browns threw the ball pretty much every play last year, but until that shoulder, because you could see it on the tape, he was blocking one-armed out there.
Yep.
And one of the plays that, you get the you get the ball back right after the interception. The first play, they run a toss sweep to Crow to the short side of the field, and Cameron got pushed back about 8 yards. The play lost 8 yards right
there.
Yes. So I would rather see him, given what he can bring to this team, I'd rather see him used more, flexed out, more receiver. And if you need somebody to go in there and block, I don't care if it tips it too much. Throw Dre in there.
Right,
you can always play action off of it. And Garnage has proven he can catch
the
football.
To that point,
as well.
It was what I would do is I would put him on the backside of a run. So you're not asking him to be the point man, to create that edge. So all he's got to do is get an arm on a guy, throw a cut block on a guy, or even, get up the second level and get on a safety who's on a backside
pursuit.
But
how much does that hurt you if that becomes your clear tendency?
Oh, I'll say this. How long we put him on the backside, maybe this week ease is not the right word, but to get him back in the run game, let them find that tendency by the third quarter, and by then we can break it.
Yep.
But I wouldn't say we'd carry this week after week after week after week. If he's inching towards 100% and he's gaining strength in
then
that, it's only for a matter of time, and then we become, Jordan Cameron line up all over the place.
All right.
That's
what
I'd like to see.
I would like that as well.
Not know where he's going to be. Either side of the formation, flex him, run him back across with motion across the formation. A lot of ways you could go.
Use him like the Titans are using Delanie Walker right now, ladies and gentlemen. All right, when we come back, we're going to play a little fact or fiction, answer a few fantasy questions as we wrap things up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.